Thank you, ladies, for a wonderful time of worship. I appreciate it so much. Oh, Peter's back there too, yes. We wanted to do a little trip report for our time down in Mexico. Robin was going to start with sharing a few things, and then I'll pick it up from there. So are we all set? Are we all comfortable? We're ready to go? You want to stand up and stretch? Or? No? No? Okay.
Well, it's always good to be back. And one of the things that I appreciate very much is when coming in late at night to JFK and you're going through customs, that if the customs official says, "Welcome back to the USA." And if they don't say it, I wait for it. Said, "I'm waiting for you to say something to me." But we had a wonderful, wonderful gentleman who was very smiley at that hour and just said, "Welcome back to the USA." And I said, "Thank you." Anyway, I just want to say that, as I always say when I come back from trips and before I leave, we take you with us. And we always take you with us. And I mean that. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by down there where we're not praying for you guys and thinking of you and knowing some of the needs that everybody's praying for and stuff like that. And so you're always in our thoughts and prayers. And we just appreciate so much, especially on this trip, but always on every trip, the words that you guys, the prophetic words that you had for us before we left and stuff like that. So I'm going to first just share something about when we arrived. It was, I would have gone to Mexico in this time of the year. We usually go after, you know, January 1st. And it's been brutally hot down there. And it was like, it hits you like a wall when, like an oven when you come into the airport and everything and get into the actual airport and come out of the airport, out of the air conditioning. And whew. And so, I mean, you're going through two outfits a day at least, you know, because you just get soaked to the skin. And it's the one place that I can drink and drink and drink all day long and I don't hardly ever have to pee. And then unlike today when I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take a bottle of water, but I'll probably just take a little sip because we're back in New York and now I have to go frequently. But anyway, it's just one of those funny things about the weather. But because of that, I want to share some of the things that, you know, that I saw with the prophetic words that you guys gave us. And but first, I'm going to start with reading my only, first and only entry into my journal while I was there was the first day, because it was just so hot and we were so busy from the moment we hit the ground there afterwards that there was no time to write in journals. So anyway, so this was the first day of the Explosion de Amor, which was the day after we arrived. And so my journal entry is, "Very hot first day. Joy was responsible for leading a lot of the activities in the morning. Had some wonderful worship after the 2 o'clock meal, during which time we prayed for people up front who answered a call from the Lord to go forward if they wanted to talk to God. I prayed for about 6 people in Spanish." And I'm just so grateful for that because I was so exhausted. But I didn't know if I had anything, but I knew it, we knew we were supposed to go up and pray for people. We're part of the leadership team for the whole event, and we wanted to, but I was, the spirit was willing, the flesh was weak. And it wasn't until I actually laid my hands on the first person that God just started giving me the prayers. And I feel really grateful that my job at the pregnancy center has had me with so many Hispanic clients, because I'm able to pray much more fluently than I've ever prayed before. And I found God That first person I laid my hands on and every person after that, I found he was giving me new words or bringing back to my memory words that I hadn't had in a long time. And so I was really, really excited about that. So anyway, I prayed for about six people in Spanish. I was so tired and hot, I felt that I had nothing left to give. But I remembered the word from Jessica Scott about when we feel we have nothing left to give, the Holy Spirit would fill us. The first young man we laid our hands on, God started giving me the prayers for him. So Wayne and I split up so we could minister to more people. Got to have some time at the beach at sunset, so it felt good to put my feet in the water. But anyway, that was the only day that I wrote in my journal, like I said. But thank the Lord for that. I can honestly say that word, Jessica, was my daily, thing that I went back to, because there were so many times during the day that I felt I couldn't go any further, I couldn't do any more, and yet somebody would ask for prayer, somebody would ask us to do something, or when we got back to Joy's house after the conference was over, you know, people would stop by, and you're like, you know, but it's, God gave us the strength to do everything he wanted us to do. So thank you for that. So anyway, I just had jotted down from the recording of the prophetic words, I had jotted down some notes in my phone from them. And it was interesting. I love Pat's word about, that we're like sunshine. And there's a couple people that kept saying to us, a couple people said to us in the trip, like you're just so... there's something so beautiful about you. You just have such a beautiful heart. And I just felt like that was, you know, the sunshine. That's the sun shining through, right? The Son of God shining through. So anyway, and then Tim had a word about, the Sunday that we left, that you prayed for us, we had done the song, Build Your Temple. And he said, the glory of God is going with us, filling us, and will increase. As his glory comes, it will bring healing and wholeness. And we really saw his glory increase on this trip. And Wayne will have some things probably to say about that. But the spirit over this event was just astounding. I've never seen such unity, such joy, nobody complaining, all these kinds of things. But the time was ripe this time. I mean, the things that happened and the hearts that were ready, it was astounding, just astounding. Let's see. Teresa said that God will meet all our needs, and he sure did this. There was times when we ran out of money and all of a sudden money appeared, and it was just really, God blessed us in every way with all of our needs, and that was so awesome. And that definitely was the practical side of God's provision. Vera said that we would probably be, since we were speaking to couples in our marriage workshop, that we would probably be speaking to parents or people who are future parents. And that was true. And we did, you know, get to interact with a lot of the young couples and people who were, you know, pregnant and expecting their first baby or whatever. So that was really cool that they were in the workshop. Jean shared that God will put us into extravagant, Jean Fisher, that God will put us in extravagant new ways and extravagant freedom. And that's, we saw a lot of that, a lot of extravagance. You know, I could characterize the whole event like that. Like, it was just so amazing this year. God has been building something in the hearts of people there, and it's coming to fruition, and it's getting more and more exciting. And then Kathy Rumble had the just one word, which was expansion. And wow, we definitely saw that, and Wayne will probably touch on that, you know, that type of thing a little more in what he's sharing. Expansion in terms of like what people were receiving into their hearts from what was being shared, and openness to what was being shared. Vicki talked about we will experience them, and this, she said she stepped out on a limb with this. It's okay. That we will experience the miraculous in healings that will impact us and rock us in the future. God will impart something to us. And she prayed that God would do that. And I really believe he did impart something to us. And I believe that we're going to see it more in the future. We prayed for a lot of people for healing at the conference. And then the last day at Joy's house, it was almost like a steady stream of people coming in the door wanting healing prayers. So we prayed, anointed them with oil and prayed for them. And we didn't see anything on the spot. But when you had that word for us, Vicki, in my heart, I knew it was not just for this trip, but it was for future. Like if we go back again in January and February or something like that, it's for future too. And who knows what we'll hear from the people that we prayed for. So we were obedient to just really, you know, even though we were exhausted and people were lining up for prayer the last night we were there, basically at the Joy's house, Joy and Poncho's house, we were like, just let's go pray. We got to pray for healing for these people. So one of them was Poncho's brother, Ruben, who had a miraculous healing a number of years back from I forget what he had then. But this time he's suffering with anemia, severe anemia. And he walked in the door, and he's kind of like skin and bones, and he's kind of wobbly like this. And so we prayed for him. We anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And and then, Brad, you had the word, the Lord of the breakthrough. Keep our eyes open so we don't miss it. People will be set free. And he was the Lord of the breakthrough in this event and in our times there. It was just, we could see people being set free, you know, lots of young people, hundreds of young people going up at a time for wanting to be set free or wanting God to touch them and stuff like that, as well as adults. So we believe he was definitely the Lord of the breakthrough in the spirit too, because, you know, it's hard to break through some of the spiritual strongholds there sometimes. And so, you know, this time we just felt a freedom that was not there in the past. So God has been at work and was preparing the ground for while we were there. So that's all I have to share. Wayne can thank you so much for all of you and your words.
I was really impressed with the worship times. Primarily Ricky and another woman were the main leaders. They had a large team there, which a lot of them I didn't know, playing different instruments. But Ricky and another woman, which I really enjoy her voice, did the worship. And what was so cool this time, especially with Judy and with Ricky, is that between the songs they were praying different things, and I just and Judy was actually giving prophetic words for the body, and I didn't know what they were saying, but I felt the spirit of what was going on with the thing, and I was always weeping during the worship time. It was just so beautiful. The theme of this event was incomplete. So it's a picture of who we are being incomplete, but God wants to complete us. So that was what the theme was about, with different relationships and different situations that we had workshops about. And then the last day is, now that you're complete, what do you do? You know, so there was some activation into service the last day. But one thing I was so impressed with was their kitchen. All right, so think about being on the beach with a ransom electric out in some electric, you know, cords. But then think about having a kitchen where you're feeding 700 people three meals a day. Right, think about that, right? It's like putting on a wedding event, you know, outside, you know, three times a day, right? And so this kitchen was, you know, I don't know how many people were working in the kitchen, but they had a whole kitchen, and then they had this huge store where they sold things at, and it's actually the store is where they make most of their money for the event, you know, because they don't charge for the event, they don't charge for the meals they gave them, but if they want something extra like chips or a soda or something, they had this amazing store where, and they even, in the kitchen staff was even making, you know, like you go out on the beach and you get a pineapple, you know, where they crush it all up inside and put other fruit in and, you know, make it really fancy. You could buy those and enjoy those. So, you know, they were making, you know, chocolate milk and coffee and, you know, all kinds of stuff while they were, you know, in the morning you could buy in between the meals and, you know, teenagers, they love to buy things. So that was, you know, this kitchen thing, they had like a big tables running down where they were cutting stuff up and, you know, cooking stuff. They had a huge pot, you know, that was, you know, and extremely long spoons to stir up the frijoles and everything they were cooking, and they had a swimming pool there that had filled with water, and they were dipping out of that to do their dishes, and then they had one of those, you know, they put up on top of their roofs one of the big water thing, you know, which probably holds 300 gallons or more, and they had one of those sitting there, and every morning they had a pickup truck, somebody brought their pickup truck, and it was loaded with, you know, 5 gallon containers of water, and they would dump it into the big thing, and that's how they ran their water for the event, right? So you know, you think about this event and how much work that this, you know, the staff does behind the scene to make it possible for people to come and hear about the kingdom of God and understand what is different about this. I've talked with so many people, and they would say that they've gone to a lot of different church conferences, but this one was different. And so what these guys have done, just communicating a whole different spirit of how the kingdom of God works versus, you know, church dogma on an event and legalism versus freedom, you know, is just something that they come to, and they just, their eyes are open because of what they're doing. Well, I made a bunch of telephone booths, and when I put them up, there was 4 of them where we put around. I put like a plastic shroud around it, you know, with a thing, and they set it all up inside. Dianella, which is a friend of Ricky's, you know, made up all these posters and little papers that had scripture verses on it. And we put a telephone in there, and so, you know, the whole idea of the telephone booths were this, to try to communicate to especially the young people that you can go and hear from God yourself. So I actually took some pictures, but I couldn't get them up on the screen today, and some other videos that we had that we couldn't get set up today. We're missing Paul, I guess. There was, when I went back and looked, there was so many of these little papers ripped off where, and I took a picture of one woman in there holding the phone, you know, so she was talking with God. So they were, it's a, you could call it a gimmick, but for them it was an idea that they could talk with God themselves. So it was a great thing that we did. So on Friday morning, during one of Ricky's sessions that he was responsible, he let me speak, and what I spoke about was being complete, let the church being complete. So I spoke about the church. I think I was probably the only one that spoke directly to how the church gets completed. And so I had Ricky open it up, and he read the scripture out of Ephesians 4, starting at verse 13, which talks about, you know, that Christ himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, pastors and teachers. We all know this scripture really well, and they generally know it well too, though they don't really know what it fully means. Anyway, it talks about God gave these ministries for the equipping of the saints for service and for the edification of the body. So he read through that whole scripture about that we would come to a unity of the faith. And it talks about, you know, the knowledge of the Son of God making a perfect man, right? So it talks about the church coming to maturity with these five ministries being inputted into the church. And then later it talks about speak the truth in love, growing up in all things where Christ is the head. And then it talks about the whole body being joined and fitted together for every joint supply. So it's talking about body ministry and how the church functions with that. So I started off this message, and I just shared how I felt about or what I saw with the church when I came 30 years ago, and how they were a new church at that point, where many of the new believers just came out of the Catholic Church, and it was the first time that the church or the believers in this church in La Penita, you know, first time reading their Bibles, and how they were so excited that they could read the Bibles themselves and pray themselves to God, and the freedom that they felt in coming into a new church setting, and how they began to teach their children and share the gospel in a new way, and they were so excited about it. I said, but it was like they were like the children of Israel that came up out of Egypt, and they came through the Red Sea, and now they're on the other side and they're set free, but they were still thinking like slaves. And I said, so they've lived a lot of their life still not free. I said, but now you are a new generation. You are the children of this generation. And that you can now live in more freedom. So then I shared that I saw myself personally, that I saw that most churches operate like they're in the old covenant more than in the new covenant. So Joy had this great idea to do this skit, and we invited three people to come down to help us do this skit. Joy was explaining the skit, and I was in the skit, and there was three others, and two of them were like a door. So Joy had them stand next to each other like this with their arms out, and they opened the door and closed the door, you know, and Joy made, you know, and as they went through a door. So the man would came to me, and I had a little plaque on the front of me that said priest. And I said priest. So the man came to me, and you know, like he spoke to me, like he told me his problems. So then I said, you know, wait a minute, and I went through the door, and I raised up my arms like I'm in the presence of God, and then I, you know, I did some things like I'm doing a sacrifice for him or something, and I come back out the door, and I spoke to him. So Joy, when I got back, you know, Joy asked him, well, how did you get your answer? And he said, you know, not really. You know, this guy was unrehearsed. He's, you know, didn't know what we were doing. You know, he said, you know, did you get an answer from God? He said, you know, not really, right? So then we said, so now, you know, we want to show you what it's like to be in the New Testament. And so I flipped my plaque over, and it said servant leader. So So now the man came to me and he told me what his issue was, and I put my arm around him and I led him out through, and we went through the door together into the presence of God. And I showed him, you know, raise up your hand so he could talk to God himself. And it was so cool because for us it was obvious what was going to happen, but for them it was like a shock. It was like when we walked through the door together and I had my arm around him and I helped him raise his hands up so he knew how to, you know, come before the Lord. It was like everyone went, oh. See, yeah. And so, you know, I spent a little time in there with him, and then I came out the door and he stayed in there and he had his arms raised up, and then we waited, and a little while later he came back out the door and Joy asked him, did you get an answer? Did you hear from God? And he said, See, it was wonderful, you know. And so it was just a great picture. So then after that, I just began to talk about the scripture that Ricky had read about the five ministries for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And I talked about it a little bit, and then I began to say, but what has happened is that man has taken these ministries and made them a position, or made it an office, and then they have given themselves a title and they say, look at me, you know, I can tell you what God is saying. So they're acting like in the Old Testament, like a priest in the Old Testament. But I began to share that we are all priests unto the Lord, and we all need to hear from God. So I gave him a little picture of how Christ needs to be the head, and then there's the body, the whole body. But when a man takes a priest, takes a position like a pastor or something, he places himself between Christ as the head, between him and the body, and then they have gone, you know, had to go through the pastor or go through the prophet or go through the apostle to hear from God, and then they tell you what to do. So I went through some pictures like that and gave them some understanding that, but what God wanted was for leaders with that have these ministries to be underneath the body, supporting them and teaching them and bringing them into presence of the God. So we talked about that. And that's exactly what happened when I began to share these things. You know, here, you know, normally a good Mexican preacher comes with lots of jokes, and they're really dynamic, and they appeal to their emotions and get the people all riled up to be excited about the message. But then there's plain Jane me, right? And I'm sharing these things, but then they just started to clap, like, yes, yes. And it was just like the anointing was there to share what I had to share. And they were seeing it, they were getting it, they were understanding that we need to be a body and not having men be in a position over them. So I shared with them towards the end. I said, you have three choices. Either you can be a slave to sin, or you can be a slave to man, or you can be free, and then you can be a slave to Christ. And they clapped again. So it was, we went through some other things about how the church looks. And I talked about the church being like it's supposed to be Christ alone as the head, but it's like you go out to the church and you see it many times, and it's like a many-headed monster, and the and the and the heads are fighting against each other. And I had so many people come up to me later and say, oh, I love that picture of the many-headed monster. But I do need to tell you that before I started any of this talk, I said that I wanted to talk with you about honestly where the church is at, but that I come with fear and trembling to do it because the church is the apple of his eye. It is his bride. It is his precious, precious entity. It's the one he loves. And so if anyone comes and speaks against the church, they're like a fool. I said, but I come to you today and a great love for the church, so I want to talk about these things to say this is what needs to change for us to become complete, that man needs to take his control away. So what we saw that after later I kept having all these men mainly come up to me and say what you spoke was so wonderful. It's I think in some ways a lot of them have been thinking and feeling all these things, but no one says them because there's a fear of for them that they'd be called, you know, rebellious or called but God was good. God gave us the words to speak and how to share it, and after I shared that, I went into another story and I told a story about when Joy was about 12 years ago, when Joy was down to Mexico for the first year, that at the end of that year they went on their first, the Dehoven group went on their first 2020 trip, and they went all around, and I explained what happened in that trip with miracles, and there was no one as the head, but only Christ was the head, and how they functioned as the body, and they did it with no fear, and they saw all of these amazing things happen, and they went after the strongholds in each area that they went at, and I said it changed the state of Nayarit because the church was operating as it should. So I gave that as a picture of how the church should function, that trip that they did. And I told how when I went down to pick up Joy, I sat in Manuel and Rosa's house, and Ricky and Danny and Joy and others that were on the trip explained this to me, and how I wept because I saw that how the body of Christ was operating with the gifts of the Spirit and the ministries of the Spirit, and it was such a beautiful thing to see God move in that way. So the Lord had us do other things while we were there. I did a 7-minute thing. They broke the group into by colors when you come in. So they had a tag, event tag, and you had a color on your tag, so that put you in a certain group. So they broke things into groups a lot by colors. And this one thing I had to do was out of 1 Thessalonians 5, which is different pieces. And the piece I had was don't despise prophecy. So I think there was 7 groups or maybe 6 groups. And so I think 6 or 7 times I had a 7-minute thing where I had a different group come and we talked about, you know, not despising prophecy. So I asked questions and went into different things to scriptures with that. That was one thing else we did. Robin and I also did couples talk, and we were the third one in that list because they had a different person speak to this group at different sessions, and so they did a lot of practical stuff. So I gave them a kind of a non-practical view of how men need to be ahead of their homes. So But it was really good. I was really kind of strong with the men about stepping up to their responsibilities. It was a really, really good time. We probably had, I don't know, 100 to 125 people, you know, maybe 75 couples in this meeting that we did. What else was I going to share? Yes, we did do a personal counseling for one couple later. They got all the leaders together, and then whoever wanted to go up for some counseling, we end up with a couple with some marriage, needing some marriage counseling, so we did that as well. We had a really good time of reconnecting with a lot of brothers, some brothers from Topeka. We met for the first time some people from Guatemala who invited us to come there to share sometime. I don't know what will happen with that, but you know, so there was some, that was some of the expansion stuff that seems to be happening, you know, with different groups, different churches, different areas that want us to stay connected with. Who's that? Yeah, that was part of response to what I shared in about completing the church. I guess I'm done with the trip report, but I had one other thing I wanted to talk with you guys about was the day after the event. Danny and another young man, Mateo, who's actually from Texas, he's one of the men that Danny's involved with that have been doing some of the missionary trips around the other countries, El Salvador and such. Anyway, they went down to Acapulco, and you know, a month ago they were hit severely with a hurricane that came in, and so they went down to check that out and see how they could help. And they sent me a bunch of videos back, which I'm going to put them out maybe on Face, out on Body Link, so you could see them. They brought down some supplies with them, and Ricky and some others are traveling down this Thursday with a larger team to they're buying a lot of their roof laminates because they completely blew off of if I showed you these videos, like the big hotel buildings, you know, you could see right through them because, you know, the building's still there, but everything is all blown out in them, right? And so the people are suffering not only with their own homes being torn apart, like this one pastor, you know, had a two-story house. The first story filled up completely with water. They went up to the second floor, and they had laminate above that, and then that blew all off. And then all the rain came in on the second floor. So, you know, their house is basically, you know, destroyed as far as what was in it, and the roof. And then they had another really short video of a church where the laminates were blown off, and you could see the seaweed all in the sanctuary area where they met on the podium and such. Anyway, they're... the children can't go to school, so they're going to do some children ministry when they go down this Thursday, as well as buy a bunch of the laminates and food and some other things and go down there from Thursday to Sunday. I think they're taking a trip down there. So they asked us if we could pray, and too, if you felt to give any money that they could buy some supplies, that's also something that would be greatly, greatly appreciated to go with Peter sharing this morning. I do want to tell you that I did did submit the thing about asking for money to the elders before I spoke about it. So, you know, we were accountable with that request. You know, that was important. But you know, it's you know, pray about that and see if there's something that you would like to give. We'd specifically send that down to you know, Dehoven, Ricky and Danny, and they'll buy what they need and bring the ministry along with helping different churches and working with some children, you know, since they can, because they're not at school. So thank you, Lord. Well, let's end with a word of prayer, and then Dan will come up and give us some announcements maybe, huh? Okay. Lord, we thank you so much for what you are doing in Mexico. We thank you so much for what you are doing in all of the Central America countries. Thank you, Lord, for our small part that we are playing in that, Lord. And we just ask that you would just multiply our effort, Lord, that you would just increase the effect of what we can do. For we are a small place, but with big hearts, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you would bless them, bless all the people that went to the conference, Lord, that it would be more than just a conference, but it would be a life change for all of them to grow closer to you and know that they can speak to you directly and don't need to go through a priest, Lord, but they are priests and therefore responsible before you. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, and we do ask too, Lord, that you would just be with all the people down in Acapulco as they are suffering through this disaster that happened to them, Lord. I pray that you would just help them physically, but also help them spiritually to find you in this difficult situation, Lord. Thank you that you are a good God and you have blessed us with good gifts. We thank you for the gifts of the ministries of the apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists are all there in our present in before us, Lord, to equip us, Lord, to do the work of service, Lord. Lord, that we are not spectators in this thing called church, Lord, but we are your church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your goodness to us. You are a good God. Amen. No, this would be mostly all Protestant churches, but past that I don't really know. Most of them are but there's either the Baptist church, which don't do much with the Spirit, and then there's the more, maybe call it Pentecostal church. So most of the ones that we relate to are the more Pentecostal. Though this guy, Mateo, that I'm telling you about, his church in Texas is more of the Baptist background. So they've had their eyes open working with Ricky and Dan.